Morning, church. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, come, and he goes. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well.
Thanks for reading, Gary. In just a moment, I'm going to take you through that bit of the Bible. But before we do that, I want to welcome our newest member to Trinity Church Hunley. James Wesley Hillen is up the back. You might like to join me in congratulating the Hillen family on the birth of James. This morning, as Susan said, the kids are staying in. And so kids, if you would like an activity pack, there are some activity packs on the hall table. Your chance to go and grab them is right now. And as the kids are doing that, you might like to just say hello to the person next to you, or you might like to go and say hello to Dan and Jack's at the back of the room. Good. We're going to be working our way through this morning through the first 22 verses of Luke chapter 7, but we're going to do it in three sections this morning. Right now, we're just going to look at verses 1 through to 10. And I think these first 22 verses of Luke chapter 7, they're all about doing one thing, and that is helping to answer a question. The question's already been up on the screen before this morning, and this is the question from verse 22. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? John the Baptist is asking here, I think, a question of Jesus. He's wondering, is Jesus the promised Messiah? Are you the man of God? Are you the Savior of the world? I wonder how you'd answer that question this morning. Is that how you see Jesus? Or perhaps a slightly different question. Do you think that is what Jesus understood about himself? Did he know himself to be the Messiah? Did he know himself to be the Savior of the world? Chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel, it's the start of a new section in the Gospel, and it's all about answering this question of who Jesus is and who he thinks he is. And the chapter starts in Capernaum with a sick man. He's actually really sick. He's about to die. And we learn that he is the servant of a centurion. Wonder if you know what a centurion is. Kids, you might know in cricket, when you hit 100 runs, they call that your century. Centurions commanded 100 men. Centurions were part of the Roman army. You can see a picture of them up here. If you look very closely, you'll notice the van in the background. I don't think this was taken in the time when Luke wrote. But this gives you an idea of what we're talking about. These sort of people, a Roman centurion. This man commands 100, and he's also wealthy. You'll see in verses 4 and 5 that he funded the building of a synagogue in the town of Capernaum. He's wealthy, he's powerful, and he's influential. And yet it seems there's nothing this man can do himself to help his servant. He has, it seems, all that the world offers, but he can't hold back death. And the Jewish leaders, they come to Jesus saying, "This man deserves your help." It's a funny thing to read, isn't it? Especially after what we saw last week and over the last few weeks where Jesus has been turning the world upside down. This seems very strange that they would come saying, "He deserves your help." And so somewhat surprisingly, I think, Jesus sets out in search of this wealthy, influential, and powerful centurion. But before he arrives, the centurion sends his friends to intercept Jesus. And now it's his friends who are speaking, not the Jewish elders. And look what his friends say in verse 6. It's up on the screen. "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." It seems here, doesn't it, that this centurion, this Gentile man, has understood something about the power and the supremacy and the strength of Jesus. He's saying, you don't even need to come to my house. And he's saying that because he doesn't want Jesus to be defiled. Jesus is a Jewish man. You don't even need to come into my house. You're powerful enough to do the work of healing remotely. Just say the word. Let me read on in verse 9. "And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well." There's something in this story, isn't there? Something that is commendable about the way in which the centurion interacts with Jesus. He has great faith. One of the questions I want you to be thinking through, though, is why is Luke telling us this story? Why is Luke telling us this? Well, surely at one level he wants us to see how powerful Jesus is. Here is a man who can heal by remote. He doesn't even need to be physically present with the sick man. This is like the first century equivalents of telehealth, isn't it? Like healing by remote, a phone call. He can cure the sick man over the phone, so to speak. And my guess is that others had probably already tried to help this centurion's servant. Surely the centurion would have called for the latest and the greatest of doctors at the time to come and help. Maybe they'd already given him the very best of the medicines they had in the day. Maybe they'd even tried some promising surgical procedure on the man. But here is Jesus, and he is healing remotely. He's not even there. And look what happens in verse 10. The friends return and they find the man well. He's not just recovering or not recuperating, but he is well. Now Luke is helping us, isn't he, to see here the power of Jesus. He's a great healer. But today I want to suggest to you that there's something else in this story that helps us to see that Jesus knew who he was. Because in this story, I think Luke and Jesus is showing us that he is a bit like one of the great Old Testament prophets, a bit like Elisha. Now, let me show you. If you'll flick back in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, it's on your pew Bibles on page 572. I'd encourage you to turn there because it's not going to be up on the screen. Instead, there's a table on the screen behind me. What I want you to notice is the similarities between the story about the centurion and this story that involves an Assyrian soldier named Naaman in 2 Kings. I'm going to read this story to you, and you can follow along. 2 Kings chapter 5, page 572. And as we read, you might like to look at the similarities that are on the screen behind me. "Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory at Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. 'By all means go,' the king of Aram replied. 'I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, 'With this letter,
I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard what the king of Israel heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him to say to him, Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he went off in a rage. And Naaman's servants went to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then, when he tells you wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. You see how similar these two stories are? Now, I think Luke is telling us then, as he records the story with the centurion, Luke is helping us to see, that Jesus is a bit like Elisha, but better. Naaman says, Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. And here in Luke, it's almost like the centurion is saying, God is in Israel. He's here in the person of Jesus. How do we know this? Well, Jesus is healing by remote. How amazing is that? Even today, our doctors can't do that. Even the very best of modern medicine can't. But God can. And what does this help us to see? Well, it helps us to see who Jesus is. I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed the great physician, the one who can heal. And Father, this morning we bring before you those of us who are not well, and we ask that you would bring about healing. And yet, even if that does not happen, we ask that we would continue to trust in you, knowing that Jesus really is God. Amen.